Contented Media presents Dr. Bitcoin, the man who wasn't Satoshi Nakamoto, an original podcast series with Mark Hunter and Arthur Van Pelt.
Hello and welcome to Dr. Bitcoin, the man who wasn't Satoshi Nakamoto, and part 4 in our Cooper vs. Craig Wright special series. And the trial hasn't even started yet. Those of you joining here would do well to start from part 1 so you get a full grounding in this case and what's happened to this point. But the crux of the case concerns Craig Wright's attempts to get a high court judge, just one, in any country, to confirm that he is Satoshi Nakamoto, the creator of Bitcoin. This has resulted in a bunch of cases he started being wrapped up into one identity issue trial and the world patiently waiting to see what 15 years worth of evidence looks like. With me as ever to cover this next explosive chapter in the Cooper vs. Craig Wright saga is Arthur Van Pelt. Arthur, if Craig Wright's evidence was on the ropes before now, what we're about to see is almost a knockout blow, isn't it?
Yeah, I would guess so, indeed, because it's not only that Cooper quickly figured out that there are again forgeries in the case against Craig Wright, but we will also learn about the quite narrow time frame when these forgeries were made.
Yes, he's been a busy, busy man, so let's crack on. We left part 3 having looked at 5 of the 50 forgeries Cooper had selected for the trial, having been told by the judge to whittle it down from over 400 that had been uncovered by its forensic expert, Patrick Madden. We start part 4 on December the 1st and Craig Wright's fifth witness statement, in which he promised to go over 2 drives that he apparently discovered in his home office in September 2023. Arthur, we already knew something of these drives, didn't we?
Yes, we did. And it was thanks to Kristen Ager Hansen, the former CEO of Enchain. And from him, we indeed knew that Craig found these drives in his home office in September, which he said contained millions of words written about Bitcoin from the time when Satoshi was creating and launching it. Kristen wasn't very impressed, though, because when he saw what was on them and when they did a mock trial on the basis of this and other evidence from Craig, it all went into the fairway brief, which Kristen says led to Craig being fired.
Wright said that one of the drives, a Samsung USB stick, referred to as the BDO drive, purchased in 2015 or 2016, contained around 1 terabyte of data, while the other, a My Digital drive, contained around half that. Wright added that he did not know, quote, when this drive was acquired, in what circumstances, or for what period it was used, unquote, but he did say that it had been in his possession for several years. As for how recently acquired drives could back up his claims of working on Bitcoin as far back as the early 2000s, the answer was clear. Quote, the hard drives predominantly contain backups of forensic images of old drives and other material associated with files I had backed up from computers I was using at the time the backups were made. Unquote. The BDO drive, Wright said, contained an image of a drive taken during his time at the accounting firm BDO, a drive that he used, quote, predominantly to store data that I did not want to be corrupted or accessible, unquote. Wright said that this image was captured on or around the 31st of October 2007 and contained within it images from previous systems that, he said, confirmed that the BDO drive predated this imaging. These included a SIM card image from a phone used in 2006 and caches of his web browsing history from 2006. Wright also confirmed that he did not edit or amend any of the documents on the drive after the October 2007 imaging. Wright added that he believed that both drives had been collected from his home in February 2019 for purposes of disclosure in the Kleiman vs. Wright case, but alas, they were missed. Arthur, we know that so much of the evidence captured from Wright's machines and sent across for the Kleiman trial was found to have been tampered with, and here he is blaming the forensic firm Alex Partners for not finding these drives, which, of course, would be the only ones to contain legitimate evidence. We'll get into what was on those drives shortly, but you would have thought that Craig Wright would have noticed that this evidence was missing during the trials, wouldn't you?
Yeah, in a normal world, indeed. But we are talking about Craig Wright here, and he is always creating evidence on the fly when he needs it, Mark. So no doubt he will come up with all sorts of excuses as to why he didn't notice all these millions of words on Bitcoin and all the draft white papers and notes and things missing from his other evidence. He never even mentioned the existence of this evidence in other trials, which, as we will see, even the judge thinks is highly suspect.
Before we look at what was on the drives, how were they found? Wright says that it all started in September 2022, when he was told to provide a chain of custody for the Reliance documents he had told Cooper he was about to send them. Wright says that during this process, he started to get a bit worried about something. Quote, "In the course of preparing the chain of custody information, I became concerned as a result of privileged information provided to me by my then solicitors, Travis Smith, about the disclosure exercise carried out by Alex Partners, that Alex Partners may not have collected and or imaged everything as certain data may have been encrypted or otherwise not available. Until then, I had not been aware of any concerns about the comprehensiveness of the imaging process carried out by Alex Partners," unquote. Watch out for that bus, Alex Partners. Wright said that such were his concerns that he began, on September the 11th, 2023, to search his home for the drives that Alex Partners had scanned. And, lo and behold, 4 days later, he found two that Alex Partners had missed, sitting in a drawer full of already scanned drives with Alex Partners stickers on them. The previous day, Travis Smith had warned him that Alex Partners had not been able to image certain drives in 2019 as they were encrypted, had no data, or were damaged. Against all the odds, Wright was now holding two such drives. In his witness statement, Wright said that he couldn't understand how Alex Partners hadn't picked up the drives in 2019 because he definitely left them out for them among the others. Just one of those things. Arthur, I've always been a bit confused by this timeline because we know from Christian Agerhansen's tweets that Wright told him over WhatsApp on September the 5th that, quote, "the encrypted drive has everything, 4 million pages, accounts, tax, letters, you name it. I have a 2009 drive that likely has more, password to find, but so much it is ridiculous," unquote. So he tells Christian Agerhansen what's on the drives on September the 5th, 10 days before he apparently finds them. This was finally picked up by Cooper's lawyers, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Of course it was picked up. It's hard to miss such a discrepancy in the timeline, raising the opportunity to bring another life, Craig Wright, to the attention of the judge.
Yeah.
You know, if I was a COPPA lawyer at this point in time, I would be very content with the public leaks of Christian Agerhansen. Because he revealed, and with images to support these revelations, what happened exactly on what date. So in Philippe Charel's 18th witness statement, Charel is one of Cooper's lawyers, we can find, for example, screenshots of private conversations dated exactly September the 5th of 2023, where Craig is sharing material from the hard disks that he, later in court in a witness statement under oath, explained to have found only on September the 15th. So indeed, 10 days difference. Yeah, so but in other words, Craig Wright is lying in court. Perjury.
So Craig Wright claims in his witness statement that he had checked the drives to see if they worked, but did not amend or edit any of the files, which is why he can be so sure of their pre-2009 provenance. And yet he sends Christian Agerhansen a photo of a document from the encrypted drive that he's opened. He just doesn't get it, does he?
No. Well, Craig was of course not expecting that this private conversation with Christian Agerhansen would leak to the outside world.
No.
So probably no one would have known about Craig's lies in his witness statement. But now we do know about it anyway. And these examples only add to the pile of lies and forgeries that Justice Mueller has to digest for his rulings in the COPPA case.
Cheryl also noted how internet searches from after the Madden report was served in September 2023 were saved onto the drive, and in some cases were contained in an image dated 2004. The drives were imaged in Wright's home by forensic company Stroz Friedberg, which was hired by Wright's law firm Shoesmiths and which produced a report on what it had found. Arthur, in his witness statement, Wright is very quick to throw in a disclaimer over the recycle bin on the BDO drive. What does he say?
Yeah, he did indeed. Allow me to read a few paragraphs of his fifth witness statement in the COPPA case so the listener gets a good idea what's going on around this forensic inquiry of these discs. Mind you, these discs are now becoming key evidence in the COPPA case, evidence that will make or break the outcome of the COPPA trial for Craig Wright. Stross Friedberg identify in their memorandum metadata suggesting that the recycle bin on the Samsung drive, which sits on the Samsung drive outside the BDO drive, which has its own recycle bin, was emptied in September 2023. The ordering of files added to the recycle bin and transactional log files within the BDO drive with a created, modified and access date of the 17th of September 2023. I believe that these matters may be explained by the software systems and processes that I habitually use. These may have caused the recycle bin on the Samsung drive to have been automatically emptied when I plugged the Samsung drive into my laptop to check that it was working, as explained above. They may also have altered the ordering of files in the recycle bin. It is also possible that one of these systems or processes was configured in such a way as to automatically open the BDO drive when I checked that the Samsung drive was working. However, I am sure that I did not myself do anything with either of the hard drives other than to check that they were working between the time I discovered them and the time they were imaged by KLD.
Wright signed off this section of his witness statement by saying that he was applying to rely on the documents found on the drives at trial, such were their significance, even though this might delay it. This was not a surprise. 7,123 documents had been recovered from the drive, which would need whittling down. An extended disclosure was agreed between the two sides, with specific keyword searches used to identify relevant documents, which resulted in 97 documents making their way over the bridge to COPA, 93 of which came from the BDO drive. We got more details of the found drives and their contents in a witness statement from one of Wright's lawyers, Hannah Field, on December the 1st, but COPA's rebuttal 6 days later suggested that the process may have been flawed. Quote, Dr. Wright has to date only disclosed a narrow subset of material hand-selected by him. These are cherry-picked documents from the hard drives, which are the product of searches conducted using a set of keywords chosen by Dr. Wright, and which are much narrower than the set agreed between the parties for the purposes of extended disclosure. Dr. Wright has refused to provide full forensic access to the hard drives, despite repeated requests and despite an offer to enter into confidentiality terms on 31st of October 2023, to which no response was given. Unquote. Shoesmith did finally offer COPA an image of the drive, under certain conditions, but this offer came in early December, too late to be of much use in the upcoming pre-trial hearings. Good comedy is all about timing. Arthur, Wright's core piece of new evidence doesn't seem to be something found on a drive. It appears to be from another source he has forgotten about until now, Overleaf. Can you tell us a bit about this?
Oh, you mean the LaTeX files?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's another great anecdote in the COPA case. What I understood is that next to the two drives that Craig Wright suddenly, quote-unquote, found, he also suddenly found LaTeX files online in an account on a website called Overleaf. Well, not exactly suddenly, if we have to believe Craig Wright himself, which is always a bit hard given his track record of lying and deceiving, of course. Now, because he told one of his lawyers, a lady named Field, that Ontier already knew in 2019 that this website with supposedly Bitcoin-related LaTeX files existed. And these LaTeX files are super-duper special, again, according to Craig Wright, of course, because that is how the original Bitcoin white paper was set up. And the story here is that we only know about the white paper in an open office version, that is the officially released version of the white paper. It has always been in open office. But now Craig appears to be providing an unknown, even earlier version of the Bitcoin white paper. Yeah, so he must be Satoshi after all.
In discussing the LaTeX files in her witness statement, Field reported how Wright had pulled Ontier from under the bus, dusted it down, and thrown it right back under, blaming the law firm for not previously submitting the LaTeX files as they considered them outside of the specified date range. The law firm could, Wright claimed, have disclosed the underlying code, but he didn't know why they didn't. Wright told Shoesmith that the only relevant or potentially relevant material hosted on his Overleaf account was the material in a folder entitled Bitcoin, and that the rest post-dated 2020 and were therefore not relevant. That's never stopped him before. The folder, Wright said, contained certain LaTeX files, which, when the code contained on them was compiled in Overleaf, would produce a copy of the Bitcoin white paper materially identical to that published by Satoshi Nakamoto on 31st of October 2008. Before we look into what COPA's experts found in the LaTeX files, we know that Christian Agar Hansen gave us a little insight into this on September the 30th, when he posted a section of his report on Craig Wright for Enchain's board, which saw them both leave the company. Agar Hansen showed a screenshot of a browser page pulled from the BDO drive, where someone asks the LaTeX forum, was anything in Satoshi Nakamoto's original Bitcoin paper compiled in LaTeX? A question asked in 2016. Agar Hansen's conclusion was that this, and other web pages on the drive accessed in 2023, showed that it had been accessed since 2009. Cheryl noted that the file of that web search should have been included in Wright's disclosure given the keywords involved, but it had, somehow, been missed. Onto the LaTeX documents. Arthur, we were hoping to have a thorough debunk of the documents themselves, but why couldn't we do that?
Well, we learned from both Greg Maxwell and Philip Shirell that Craig has been holding back these files from examination by COPA. Surprise, surprise. This is what Shirell says in his witness statement, for example. Dr. Wright has set extraordinary confidentiality terms for access to these documents and has refused our reasonable proposal to agree patent court standard terms, a proposal made even though we regard the material as not confidential. The result is that Dr. Wright has given us no access to the Overleaf LaTeX files at all. He has not even provided PDF outputs, despite repeated requests, and despite the fact that, on his case, they should be identical to the public Bitcoin white paper and hence cannot possibly be confidential. And we learned from Greg Maxwell that Wright's team finally provided the output on the eve of the hearing, but, and I'll quote him now, when it came, it came with a list of excuses as to why it was actually not that similar, much less exact or materially identical, which they switched to calling it at some point.
Oh, you can hear the goalposts moving, can't you?
Oh, yes.
So tell us about what COPA could analyze and what they found.
Well, a bit later, we found more detailing about the Overleaf website and the LaTeX files in the filings. And not sure if I made this clear already for the listeners, Mark, but the Bitcoin developers are very active with providing information on the BitcoinDefense.com website, where they post many, if not all, of the filings in the Pineapple Hack case. Mm-hmm. And since they are now also party in the COPA case, also the filings in the COPA case. Mm-hmm. Well, which is working like the court docket in the United States by now. It's wonderful.
It's very useful.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, from Shirell's 18th witness statement again, we learn the following, and I'll give a few quotes. According to our research, Overleaf was not in existence in 2008-2009. It was launched in 2015. Under the name Overleaf, and was previously developed and first released under the name Wright LaTeX in the period of 2012 to 2014. It is therefore not clear how documents said to be created in 2007 or 2008 could have been added to Overleaf at that time, and no explanation has been provided. Yeah, so here we have one of those infamous Craig Wright date mismatches again, Mark. Overleaf didn't exist until 2015, or with a little stretch to 2012, while Craig claims the files are from 2008-2009.
Standard.
Yep, that's by far not all, Mark. Here's another quote. As explained in Mr. Madden's third report, yeah, we are already on three reports for Mr. Madden.
Busy guy.
Yeah, and I think he will write one or two more before the COPA trial starts.
Yep.
Back to the quote. As explained in Mr. Madden's third report, the Bitcoin white paper was not written in LaTeX. It was written in ordinary WYSIWYG editing software, OpenOffice Writer. As Mr. Madden also explains, the images are exactly characteristic of OpenOffice flowcharts using the default flowchart options in OpenOffice Writer version 2.4. Yeah, there you have the number. That's what I remembered. Mr. Madden also conducted a comparison of the figures from the Bitcoin white paper and compared them to the images generated from a LaTeX image from Dr. Wright's 97 documents, finding that the LaTeX versions do not actually match the diagrams in the Bitcoin white paper very well, having, for example, much thicker lines, different dash styles, and poor alignment as well, as behaving differently when zoomed. Now, yeah, so here is where COPPA is destroying the link between the Open Office white paper and the LaTeX white paper that was between Craig's evidence. And they then turn to that screenshot that Christer Agerhansen tweeted last year in September, October, that probably was, about the question of Satoshi's use of LaTeX, where they find that he was researching and using LaTeX in August and September 2023. Which is consistent with the apparent date of creation of the BDO drive in which the documents were found. Hmm. They also found that around the same time as Craig was looking up this question he posted on his Slack channel, that he was then using LaTeX in significant volumes and was asking for information on how to automatically generate LaTeX code. Yeah, so this all points to August, September, that he was creating all these forgeries. And this is also so typically Craig Wright, Mark. He just cannot shut up about forgeries that he is creating, and here he reveals in his private Slack group what he is doing. Crazy.
It is. It's crazy. It's crazy. Craig also made the bold claim to his lawyers that it is, quote, practically infeasible for a person to reverse engineer the LaTeX code for the Bitcoin white paper from its published form. In other words, the LaTeX code in Dr. Wright's possession uniquely codes for the Bitcoin white paper, but the Bitcoin white paper cannot be the source for that code, unquote. How did COPPA get on with that little nugget?
Yeah, this was another hilarious anecdote in Cheryl's witness statement, and we're still dealing with number 18. There are quite a few of them.
Yes, there are.
Not only was one of the lawyers with Bird and Bird, who had some familiarity with LaTeX, able to reproduce the white paper from the files in a couple of days, COPPA also hired someone from Fiverr. That's a website where people offer their services for $5, yeah, or $10 or $15, but mostly for $5. It's a starting point. And there they were able to reverse engineer it too. So yeah, another example of COPPA, or the council, actually not leaving any stone unturned in this case.
Mm-hmm. Fair play. While Craig Wright's forensic expert said it was impossible for him to have the new documents analysed in time for the trial's January the 5th start date, Patrick Madden pulled a few all-nighters and was able to analyse several of the 97 documents. Where there's a will, there's a way. Madden's report noted that, among other things, almost all the documents either contained very little metadata or no metadata at all, or were in a form that didn't carry metadata. Those that did carry metadata showed, quote, significant indications of tampering, unquote, including, as usual, the use of software that wasn't available at the time the document was purportedly created, and that specialised metadata editing tools had been used to manipulate metadata timestamps. Patrick Madden also agreed with Stroz Friedberg that the recycle bin had been emptied in September 2023 and that log files indicated the editing of files on the drive in September 2023. He also dismissed Craig Wright's rationale over the recycle bin conundrum, noting, quote, the software that Dr. Wright refers to does not operate like that, and in fact is specifically designed to avoid the behaviours that Dr. Wright attributes to them, unquote. Cheryl then noted how both teams' forensic analysts had produced a joint report in which they both agreed that, quote, many of Dr. Wright's reliance documents contain manipulated timestamps, and thus they must be inauthentic to their purported date, unquote. Arthur, it's hard to underestimate how big this is, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty massive indeed. You know, sometimes I'm trying to get these things in the heads of BSV fans online, but you can notice that no one is fully grasping the effect of this on the COPPA case. They simply ignore it. They hand wave it away it's just a claim of COPPA. It's not a ruling. And Justice Mellor will rule in favor of Craig Wright, etc. But here we have Craig Wright's own forensic analyst agreeing with Patrick Madden over the forgeries. These responses never fail to amaze me, Mark. It's like these people are living in an alternative universe where people smoke good stuff every minute of the day.
And a lot of it too.
Yes.
Cheryl added that this joint acknowledgement of the inauthenticity of Wright's documents was all the more important because Wright's experts had just been handed more accounting databases by Wright, which he said were preserved from the 2008-2009 era. Wright offered these, Sherrill said, because the ones he submitted in 2022 were, quote, apparently not the correct versions, unquote. Of course, it was only after Madden had spotted that the accounts had been edited in March 2020 to include Bitcoin holdings allegedly from 2011 and earlier that Wright realised he'd sent the wrong ones over. Clumsy. Arthur, Patrick Madden had a look at the new correct accounting data, where I presume everything was all present and correct?
Yeah, this is asking for the full quote again from Cheryl's witness statement, Mark. Mm-hmm. So here we go. These new MIOB databases were provided to Dr. Wright's forensic expert as replacement documents to replace certain of Dr. Wright's reliance documents, which Mr. Madden had exposed to be inauthentic in the Madden report. However, Mr. Madden was able to detect that the new MIOB databases were actually created using software that was not released until mid-May 2023 and was not created until the 10th of May 2023. And that the databases were backdated so as to seem contemporaneous to Satoshi Nakamoto's time. Dr. Plex had agreed with Mr. Madden's assessment that these databases were created no earlier than May 2023 and are manipulated documents. Therefore, it is a matter of agreement between the forensic experts that Dr. Wright has provided accounting databases that are false and which were created during the proceedings. Yeah. God. That's fraud upon the court. And that's why Mr. Sherrill is saying, this is extremely serious misconduct, and I would ask the court to take it into account in considering Dr. Wright's application based on the alleged discovery of the BDO drive.
He's in so much trouble.
Oh, yeah. Nay, but this is just not fraud. This is fraud upon the court. And Normally judges are more keen to punish that.
Cheryl had also sought witness testimony over the BDO drive and its files, seeking out three expert opinions over its authenticity. The first, Howard Hinnant, confirmed that some of the C++ files on the drive with 2007 timestamps referenced a library that was not even contemplated until 2008 and was not fully incorporated until 3 years later. The second, a LaTeX expert by the name of Dr. Miko Loratan, found that the 2007 timestamped LaTeX files on the drive referenced a language called Selnalig, which he himself had created only in 2013, and third, Professor John McFarlane, who found that the header in one specific LaTeX file used a version of a template that was not released until March 2022. Arthur, I remember in the Kleiman case when Wright's team tried to claim that it was possible for Wright to have acquired a pre-release of BitMessage on the black market, which was how he and Dave Kleiman were able to use it to message with before it had been officially released. But that's just not going to fly now here, is it?
Certainly not. I typically found the McFarlane Pandoc finding pretty cool because that component didn't exist before March 2022, as you said. Mm. So if they find traces of that component being used by Craig Wright in his files, the LaTeX files, it's impossible to claim that these LaTeX files date back to 2007, 8 or 9. Or whatever spin Craig is trying to give this false story. Mm. And as Kopa says, there are strong indications from what Professor McFarlane found. This is a quote. The LaTeX document on the BDO drive was created using software downloaded during the course of these proceedings at some point after March 2022.
This is the thing, because he has set so much store by these drives being almost like perfectly preserved since 2009 or whenever he's dated it to. So if there's just one tiny thing that is after that in any of the files, it blows the whole thing completely out of the water. It's such a risk he's taking.
There you go.
In his summary of the new evidence, Cheryl was candid about the purpose of Wright's evidentiary do-over. Quote, having seen the expert report of Patrick Madden, Dr. Wright fundamentally altered his position, moving from a position whereby he had contended that he was the sole custodian of all his Reliance documents, to a position whereby he contended that numerous people had had the opportunity to handle and or alter his Reliance documents, and, indeed, that the copies of those documents which he had previously relied on should be replaced by supposedly better versions, unquote. Away from the evidence, Sherrill also noted in his witness statement dozens of instances where Wright and his representative had failed to properly, or at all, engage with COPA over questions related to the evident failings in the original disclosure exercise, the RFIs dating back to 2021, the chain of custody process, the autism adjustments, the Bitcoin primer, and more, some of which Wright only acceded to after court orders. When it came to Wright's requested autism adjustments, Sherrill dedicated many pages to the frustrating efforts endured by his firm with regard to agreeing a package of measures. He noted how Wright had completely ignored their offer of adjustments, leading to experts from both sides analysing Wright and coming up with a package of measures. Amazingly, Wright's expert was not aware that his cross-examinations during the HODL NOT trial had been videotaped, and that he changed his mind over the adjustments needed after watching it, drastically reducing the adjustments he first said were required. Can't think why that was kept from him. Arthur, COPA also pointed out something interesting regarding Wright's expert, didn't they?
Oh, well, yeah, indeed. There was clear evidence that Craig Wright had been shopping around to find an autism expert that delivered him what he needed. Sherrill mentions that an expert called Simon Baron Cohen, and I have no idea if he is family of Sasha, you know, Ali G Baron Cohen, Mark.
Yes, very well.
But yeah, he was first asked after the report from Craig's expert for the Kleiman trial. He was for some reason not suitable for the COPA case. But what did Baron Cohen state that Craig Wright seriously didn't like? He said, "In my opinion, Craig is fit to plead. He has the ability to effectively participate in a trial." Now, Sherrill then states further that Professor Baron Cohen is one of the most eminent ASD practitioners in the UK, and he did not recommend any of the adjustments subsequently proposed by Professor Faisal in his expert report. And perhaps for that reason, Professor Baron Cohen was discarded and Dr. Amy Klin was named in Dr. Wright's subsequent ASD application on the 2nd of May 2023. Now, so it ended up that Craig found a new expert called Professor Faisal, and Faisal and Klin were now set up against each other. And here's what Sherrill had to say about that. "The strong inference is that having read Dr. Klin's draft report, Dr. Wright disregarded it in favor of Professor Faisal's recommendations. This is in spite of the fact that Dr. Klin was clearly in a better position to opine on ASD adjustments, having had the advantage of reviewing video footage and a transcript of Dr. Wright being deposed in Kleiman versus Wright, whereas Professor Faisal was not provided with this material. And Dr. Klin's expert opinion was therefore based on real-world exposure to Dr. Wright in court proceedings. That was withheld from Professor Faisal, and when he was provided it, his opinion changed to lead to the sort of adjustments that COPA proposed in their offer." Yeah, so there you go, Mark.
Eventually, the two autism experts agreed a package of measures that included Wright being told in advance of when he would be questioned and for how long, giving him access to materials to make notes during questioning, the drawing of no negative inferences over the way he presented himself under questioning, the shortening of follow-up questions were he to become emotionally dysregulated, and the imposing of a lower threshold for breaks. In her request to add the new material, Wright's counsel argued that, with deep analysis now required on the documents by both sides, it wouldn't be possible to go ahead with the January 12 start date. She asked to delay the trial by over a month, with the provisional start date of February 19th. Sherrill responded to this request in his witness statement, where he argued that any adjournment would delay the trial for at least a year, and possibly more, given that COPA's lawyers wouldn't be available during the newly proposed timeframe, and noted that the court would likely not be able to accommodate the rescheduled 5 to 6 week trial at such short notice, noting that the next available 10-day trial spot in the Chancery Division was April 2025. Arthur, Sherrill also made a point about the impact on other trials, didn't he?
Yep, indeed. And to summarize that quickly, there are currently the following cases running. These other cases are HODL NOT in the UK and in Norway. And there are two passing off cases against Kraken and Coinbase. And there is, of course, the copyright database and file format case. Now, so Sherrell pointed out that HODLNOT in particular would be damaged by a lengthy delay, and he noted that one of the reasons HODLNOT's Norwegian team accepted a stay in his Libel trial there was because Craig said it was only going to be of a short duration, which obviously, if the COPPA case was to be pushed back by months, would no longer be short. And we have Coinbase and Kraken too, who have potentially massive impacts if they should lose to Craig, who would obviously not want this case delayed longer than necessary.
These issues would be tried during a two-day hearing in mid-December, with Wright's skeleton argument urging the judge to allow the new material, saying that it was essential to his defence, and Cooper arguing that, because it was likely that the whole lot was just a bunch of forgeries anyway, it shouldn't be allowed in, and the trial shouldn't be delayed. In its skeleton argument, Cooper also commented on the chain of custody offered for the new evidence, calling the submission, quote, a striking document which, in summary, casts doubt on most of Dr. Wright's Reliance documents by saying that they could have been or were altered by many people over the years, unquote. They also referenced Wright's contention that the new evidence in fact comprised more authentic copies of the Reliance documents already submitted and signed off by Wright as authentic. Can you get much more authentic than authentic? Apparently, in Craig Wright land, you can. Arthur, we also learned something about Craig Wright's cryptocurrency expert, with whom I believe you've already had some dealings.
Oh, yeah. That's Mr. Zeming Gao. I wrote two debunks of two of his articles, and I have still one in the pipeline, but I have like eight or nine articles in the pipeline, so I'm not sure when I'm going to release that. Craig Wright leeches mostly on Pretty Dump fans, but this guy is actually, I have to give him that, he is somewhat of an intellectual of who we could think that he would be smart enough to clearly see the antics and deception of Craig Wright. But yeah, I have to say he still lost the plot somewhere because he is defending BSV as a superior tech to Bitcoin, and he of course also believes that Craig Wright is Satoshi Nakamoto. What we learned is that Mr. Gao went on a bit of a rant about the benefits of BSV over Bitcoin in his report, and COPPA wanted this made inadmissible due to irrelevance over the question of Wright being Satoshi. Craig Wright wanted the technical aspects to be included, while COPPA wanted all such discussions removed in order to speed things up and avoid delving into complex technical matters. And no doubt the BSV crazies will say this is Bitcoin Core trying to keep BSV from the masses.
Something else we learned from the skeleton arguments was who some of the witnesses are going to be. COPPA will call on Marty Malmy, Just André, John Hudson, Daniel Bernstein, Andreas Fuchier, Zuko Wilcox-O'Hearn, and Dustin Trammell. These witnesses are expected to testify via video link, with additional in-person witnesses yet to be revealed. The Bitcoin developers, who don't forget are also involved in this trial now, will call just one extra witness, early Bitcoin developer Pieter Vuller. COPPA is also seeking permission for Ben Ford and the three experts used to debunk the BDO drive to testify, as well as Nicholas Boehm. COPPA will also rely on hearsay evidence from Lucas de Groot, Michael Stathakis, Ms. Lee Lai, and Professor Graham Wrightson, who Wright says was influential in helping him with some ideas for Bitcoin. Arthur, of this list, who are you most interested in hearing from?
Yeah, Pieter Vuller, Marty Malmy, and Dustin Trammell, Mark. Because Pieter is a current Bitcoin protocol developer with a massive amount of technical knowledge, because he's along for the ride, for the Bitcoin ride for quite some years already. Marty Malmy, for who doesn't know him, was the first developer to join Satoshi in 2009, and quite early already, I think roughly April, May or something, to help him with Bitcoin development. And Dustin Trammell is one of the first Bitcoin miners next to Hal Finney in January 2009. And I think they only missed each other by minutes or hours. Hal Finney was the first, but within hours, Dustin Trammell was a miner. All these people are known to have had private conversations about Bitcoin in the early days. Bitcoin mining, Bitcoin itself, Bitcoin development, everything. And so, yeah, let's see if we can get some fireworks when they bring up discrepancies in those private conversations, because Craig, of course, he will have no idea what these private conversations have been about.
Wright's counsel, naturally, claimed that his new material should be admitted, as it may prove pivotal to bearing out Wright's claim, arguing that just because Cooper had found one bad apple, it didn't mean the whole barrel was rotten. Again. It blamed Cooper for not giving Wright's forensic expert enough time to debunk the Madden report, and brought up Wright's change of legal counsel as another reason why proceedings had been held up. And whose fault was that? Wright's team also complained that Cooper was making Wright work, quote, 18 hours a day, 7 days a week, unquote, to meet its demands, calling Cooper's approach to correspondence oppressive. Of course, if Wright had answered those RFIs 2 years ago when he was first asked, then he might not be such a busy boy now. Luckily for him, he's no longer employed by Enchain, so his schedule is as flexible as one of his own authenticity declarations. Wright's team also noted that while Wright, quote, accepts that failing previously to disclose the additional documents involves a significant failure to comply with the order for extended disclosure, unquote, it was all Alex Partner's fault. Vroom vroom. During this submission, we got our first real clue as to what the rest of the BDO drive contained, including portions of the Bitcoin white paper in speech-to-text format we know Wright loves to use, 3 versions of Wright's famed LLM proposal, and 26, quote, notes, drafts, and articles produced by Dr. Wright during his LLM at Northumbria University, unquote, the LaTeX files, and 48, quote, notes, drafts, and articles addressing technical concepts that underpin the concepts developed in the Bitcoin white paper, unquote. As already noted, many of these replaced previously substandard evidence. Wright's team complained, rather brilliantly, that Cooper hadn't sought permission to send the files to Patrick Madden for analysis, and so his thoughts were inadmissible, and also argued that Cooper's complaint of his Yiming Gao's BSV ramblings were, quote, premised on a misunderstanding, unquote, of the evidence. The purpose of Gao's statement, Wright said, was not to show how great BSV was, but to, quote, enable the court to understand in a practical way some of the basic technical concepts in Bitcoin, unquote. This filing also let us know Wright's witnesses, which we'll go through now. The first is Dr. Ignatius Pang, a longtime associate of Wright, who was involved in Wright's companies a decade ago. Interestingly, Wright tried to claim a $5,000 refund from the tax office over work Pang allegedly did for one of his companies in the 2012-2013 tax year. However, the ATO rejected this claim because Wright never provided any paperwork to back up Pang's alleged employment. Shoaib Youssef is a former associate of Craig Wright's, with their relationship dating back to the mid-2000s. Youssef gave evidence in Wright's defence during the Hodlnaut trial, where he confirmed that, having visited Wright's supposed Bitcoin creation station in Bagnu, or Banyu, we're not sure, he saw nothing but a, quote, server room, unquote, with a satellite internet connection, rather than the fibre connection Wright has always maintained he installed purely for Bitcoin. David Bridges, Kudos Bank's IT manager, who also testified during the Hodlnaut trial, will make another appearance, potentially to reaffirm that Wright never mentioned Bitcoin or anything like it to him prior to 2013, while we may also have more Wright family members pitching in. Not his mother, sadly, but his younger sister, Danielle, unless there is someone else called Danielle De Morgan in Wright's circle of whom we're not aware. Familiar faces Donald Linham and Neville Sinclair will give hearsay testimony, meaning they won't be questioned, as will, interestingly, one Gavin Andresen. It should be noted that hearsay testimony is given the lowest category of reliance by the judge. A final witness, Mark Archbold, is an unknown quantity to us. Arthur, I was looking forward to Stephen Matthews' old war stories again, but there's probably a good reason why he's not testifying, isn't there?
Yeah. Of course. This has, as far as I can see, and I'm combining some information from several sources here, it has everything to do with the mock practice trial that was held in September 2023. Everyone attending that event, and Stephen Matthews was one of them, they became painfully aware that Craig Wright was not capable of defending his lies and forgeries that were unearthed in the Madden report. And Kristen Ager Hansen, he was then still CEO of Enchain, he got into a heated conversation with Stefan about the risk of perjurious testimony during the Cooper trial. And that's where Stefan chickened out, as it looks now. Yeah, and if true, that's very telling, of course.
Justice Miller's ruling arrived on December 20th, in which he allowed all of Wright's 97 replacement documents, but ruled that Patrick Madden must be allowed to see the original image of the BDO drive and examine the contents under certain conditions, a request that Wright had studiously ignored ever since Cooper had been told about the drive. In his ruling, Justice Mellor revealed that he had asked both sides if there was any way it could reduce the trial burden in order to have it start in January. Cooper offered to drop the forgery evidence from 50 pieces to 20, whereas Wright's team maintained that it could offer no concessions, given that it needed to process the new evidence. On the subject of the LaTeX evidence, Justice Mellor wasn't all that impressed. Quote, "In view of the emphasis placed upon the importance of the LaTeX files on this application, it is moderately surprising to say the least that Dr. Wright did not seek to rely on these files many months ago. His failure to do so cannot be blamed on the supposedly poor advice he received from his previous solicitors that such files were not disclosable because, even long before he had to consider his obligations as regards disclosure, Dr. Wright must have been aware of what he now says is the unique nature of the LaTeX files and the fact, on his case, that the Bitcoin white paper was originally written in LaTeX." Unquote. Indeed, he must. Justice Mellor also questioned Wright's story that it had been Ontier that had told him he couldn't admit the LaTeX files as evidence. Quote, "In this regard, in the course of the PTR hearing, in view of the reliance placed on some previous advice that Dr. Wright said was given by a previous firm of solicitors, not Travis Smith, as recounted in Ms. Field's witness statement regarding whether the LaTeX files were disclosable, I ruled that privilege in that advice had been waived. As it turned out, the advice was not recorded in any written form. Furthermore, those previous solicitors denied that any such advice had been given." Unquote. Someone's telling Porky Pies. Justice Mellor also noted that if Wright was so hard-pressed, he should have selected, as Cooper had done, a smaller sample size to work with, which would have reduced the pressure on him and his team and may have allowed the original start date. Arthur, there was a condition attached to Wright being allowed to add the files, though. What was it?
Yes. Earlier I mentioned McFarlane's PMDOC component that was found between the LaTeX files, so they could be dated at least after March 2022, but there were actually more of these findings related to the LaTeX files with more expert witnesses involved. So here we go with another quote. "One of the conditions on which I give permission to rely on the additional documents is that COPA are permitted to rely on the evidence in the witness statements of Mr. Hinnant, Professor McFarlane," there you have him, "and Mr. Loretan. So we should see any claim by Craig Wright over their authenticity burned down by these actual experts."
Justice Mellor then tackled Wright's attitude towards the LaTeX files, which Wright had imbued with his own top-level security. Justice Mellor noted that, even before the hearing, he was, quote, "unable to understand why such stringent confidentiality terms were required," unquote, and didn't change his mind during the hearing, telling Wright to hand over the files under Regulation UK Patent Confidentiality. With regard to the BDO drive, Justice Mellor ruled that Wright should hand it over for inspection and that anything potentially confidential, as Wright had warned would be on the drive, would not be shown to Cooper's lawyers. Arthur, we know that Wright has been pedestrian in his responses to many of Cooper's requests, and Justice Mellor picked up on this, didn't he?
Oh yeah, for sure he did. Again, time for another quote, so the listener can get a full picture. Mm-hmm. "COPA and the developers prepared and served their evidence in answer to the application speedily on the 7th of December, yeah, that was last month, and left Dr. Wright in no doubt that his additional documents raised similar issues as to fabrication of evidence, forgery, manipulation of metadata, etc., as he was already facing. The sense of urgency displayed by COPA and the developers in this and other aspects of this case was entirely appropriate in view of the circumstances. In my view, and despite an impressive legal team on Dr. Wright's side," I think he has no less than nine lawyers, Mark, "a suitable sense of urgency appeared to me to be largely absent. Furthermore, it is unfortunate that Dr. Wright's team did not engage more constructively with my requests and attempts at active case management in relation to the two alternative trial dates, which I asked the parties to consider. Lord Grabener KC, King's Counsel, explained his side's lack of engagement on the basis that they did not have instructions to propose a date other than the 19th of February 2024. This response was inadequate. It was one of several indications that Dr. Wright's side was not prepared to assist the court in actively managing this case to a trial in the current trial slot, contrary to their duty. Yeah, here is some serious ass-kicking going on, Mark.
Indeed. What I find interesting here is that Wright has complained of his previous law firms stuffing things up. And in December, he praised Schuthness for being the best he's ever worked with. I joked at the time that this was because they were doing what his other counsels hadn't done and just going along with everything he said. But I honestly wonder if something like this isn't happening. Surely a reputable law firm isn't going to perpetually ignore requests from a judge in such a vital case. Is this the Craig touch coming out to play?
Yeah, it appears so, yeah. And for the listeners, the Craig touch is a the sort of inside joke between the Bitcoiners. So for the listeners, I will explain where that comes from. Mm-hmm. It is a meme that was created in 2018 around a split between Bcash and BSV by Amin Gun Shirer of Altcoin Avalanche fame. And back then he tweeted, "Over the years, I've developed a good sense for the Craig touch. He brings the IQ down of any group he is in. That's why there isn't a single smart person behind BSV, the CoinGeek coin. And that's why the attacks are going to be super dumb." Delicious. Now, indeed, I found it curious that a law firm would drag its heels to the point where a judge is almost warning them over their behavior. But maybe this law firm is well aligned with Craig Wright after all.
Justice Miller's ruling over the start date was thus, quote, "Although I have given anxious consideration to all the submissions made on behalf of Dr. Wright and considered the position carefully, I have reached the conclusion that a fair trial can take place if the trial is set to commence on 5th of February 2024. In reaching this conclusion, I am not persuaded that Dr. Wright's substantial team cannot complete all the evidence they wish to present at trial in a suitable timetable down to the 5th of February." Unquote. Justice Miller signed off by dealing with Wright's complaints over Cooper's request for him to provide his forthcoming evidence in two tranches, one now and the second later on. Wright claimed that this approach was, quote, "not feasible, especially given the interrelationship of many issues," unquote. But Justice Miller noted that, by that point, Wright had had Patrick Madden's first report for more than 3 months, during which time he, quote, "ought to have made some significant progress in preparing his evidence in reply," unquote. Wright was ordered to serve his witness statements in two tranches, one by December 21st and the second by January 12, 2024. Justice Miller also ruled that Cooper's initial bundle of 50 forgeries should, as they had offered, be whittled down to 20, bearing in mind that more may be added from Wright's new evidence. Arthur, the final point tackled the potential injury to both sides were the case to be delayed by more than a few weeks, and we saw the judge get quite serious on the scourge of cyberbullying here, didn't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is one of those things that that's blowing up in Craig's face. And Judge Miller is showing here what he thinks of Craig Wright's online behavior. "There is considerable force in this point, particularly bearing in mind some of the unpleasant threats which have been made by Dr. Wright on social media against certain of the developers and never, so far as I am aware, withdrawn, let alone been the subject of any apology. Whilst these threats have been mentioned to me before in general terms, I have gained a better understanding of them from the witness statement of Mr. Lee, a board member of COPA, who describes the chilling effect of Dr. Wright's threats on the willingness of individuals to get involved in the maintenance of parts of the Bitcoin system of which Dr. Wright does not approve. I refer to Dr. Wright's explicit threats published on social media to bankrupt developers, destroy the families, imprison them, and even defenestrate one individual." And the letter threat made even more graphic by the accompanying photograph of a man who appears to have just been defenestrated from a high building.
That's amazing, isn't it? All the stuff Calvin Ayer was saying about bullying about Craig Wright in Norway, and Craig's putting out stuff like that. It's incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's blowing up in his face now also, so mm-hmm. We can be happy with that.
On the subject of costs, Wright tried to get out of paying more security money by arguing that the money he had already put forward was proof he was good for it should he lose. Justice Miller, however, wasn't so sure. Quote, "I disagree. There is evidence that Dr. Wright is being funded in these actions by Mr. Calvin Ayer, and there is no guarantee that Mr. Ayer will be willing to pay the developers' costs if Dr. Wright loses the joint trial," unquote. As Ira Kleiman can attest, this is far from inaccurate. Wright was ordered to pay £800,000 in security costs on top of COPA's costs incurred from the autism expert farce that Wright foisted upon them. Justice Mellor also had something to say on Ziming Gao's expert testimony, noting that anything Zhao had to say could have been said by Craig Wright at trial, leaving Justice Mellor, quote, unable to identify how any of this evidence might bear on the identity issue, unquote. Arthur, it's been interesting to note Calvin Ayer's change in tone in recent weeks. He was ultra bullish when Cooper filed the suit, saying that he was personally delighted that they'd done it and Craig had the champagne open and things like this. But just in the last few days, this has changed, and he started saying that Craig is only likely to win, that a defeat is priced into BSV's token price because the world doesn't think he's Satoshi anyway. And they're basically rebranding BSV in order to, and this is Calvin's words, insulate BSV and Enchain from Craig's life and activities. Do you think we can read anything into that?
Well, yeah, I think so. We discussed this before, but let me remind everyone that Calvin is playing two roles here, one in front of the curtain and one behind the curtain, so to say. Because Calvin wrote on September the 23rd last year to Craig in an email, "It no longer matters if you have the keys or not, as it is my opinion, based on advice from Zafar and others, that you cannot win the COPA trial if you do not sign at Harvard, so I have no choice in what I have to do. This, of course, will also mean that you lose all the other cases, other than maybe the token theft case, but to me, losing COPA even puts this at risk, as COPA will set precedent that you are not Satoshi in law. All intellectual property other than Enchain patents will disappear. This means that you are not going to be able to get a court to declare that you own any tokens either." Yeah, and this is important, Mark. "We have also verified that there is no complete paper trail evidencing the trust owning any tokens. This means you cannot repay me the money that you owe me for all the litigation to date. And this means every cent spent on your cases is me pissing away my kids' inheritance." Now, so what we see happening here, in public, Calvin is still defending the Craig and Satoshi story, but with these insolent slip-ups, he is showing that he damn well knows that if he wants to save something from the BSV infra, in which he is more than heavily invested, without the burden of Craig's abysmal reputation to carry, then he must try to separate BSV from Craig Wright as much as possible.
One final word on Calvin Ayer. When BSV jumped from $50 to about $109 between Christmas and New Year, driven pretty much solely by South Korean exchanges, he claimed afterwards that this was him buying it up and that BSV were traded about $1,000 in the lead up to the trial as people woke up to the truth. How are those Koreans doing that bought in at $100 on their potential 10x?
Yeah, as we speak, Mark, slightly more than half of these $60 gains has evaporated already. Well, you know what? I will check it right now. Yeah, $76.18 it is. My goodness. So that means that Calvin needs to hurry when he wants BSV above $1,000 before the COPA trial starts.
Indeed. Back to the trial and the final bits of housekeeping that took place this month. COPA was ordered to produce an updated list of the evidence it considered forgeries on January 5th, including those from the new drive, which, sadly, has not yet been made public. Wright was given a week to reply to these new challenges over his evidence, which more or less brings us up to date with how things stand today. So, with the trial 3 weeks away, what can we expect between now and February 5th? All that's left before the trial start is for the forensic experts on both sides to examine the new evidence and produce joint reports on the matters agreed and the differences of opinion. If this one goes as well as the first, where both experts agreed that the timestamps on some of Wright's evidence meant that it was most certainly forged, then Wright might wish he hadn't bothered looking for those new drives after all. A week of pre-reading will take place from January 29th, with the trial set to commence on the 5th of February, with oral proceedings from both sides. The meat of the trial, the examination of the evidence and witnesses, will take place between February 6th and March the 1st, where there will be a one-week break in preparation for closing arguments, which will take place over 3 days between the 12th and the 15th of March. We also have a timetable of sorts for how long each witness will get on the stand. Craig Wright will be examined and cross-examined for 6 days, his witnesses for 3.5 days, COPA's witnesses for 4 days, Patrick Madden for 3 days, Wright's forensic expert Dr. Plax for 1 day, a Stroz Friedberg employee for 1 day, and crypto experts for half a day. We don't know how long the judge will take to make his ruling, but given the complexity of this case and the fact that there are 3 rulings to be worked through, we can't expect anything before May. Arthur, we've been waiting 3 years to get to this point. What are your final thoughts 3 weeks before Craig's last stand begins?
Yeah. Well, yeah, as I said before in a previous episode, I expect the worst being thrown at Craig when it comes to the rulings of Justice Mueller. Craig will be declared not Satoshi. From there, the Bitcoin copyright will not be awarded to him. And all the halted cases that depend on Craig being Satoshi and Craig having a Bitcoin copyright, they will tumble apart like a house of cards. And since there's also a ruling to be expected about the forgeries, it was added last minute by Justice Mueller, it will no doubt also leading to a ruling like Craig Wright is a fraud or dishonest or a serial forger or something like that. Now, and that ruling will most likely lead to a new procedure, a new prosecution, where Craig will be charged with criminal fraud. That's what I expect.
Mm-hmm. Now, as for how we're going to cover the trial, that's still in the works, but we'll keep you informed the best we can. There will be court reporters from both sides live tweeting, although we don't quite know who yet. So make sure you follow us on Twitter at DrBitcoinPod to get the latest info on how we're going to manage it all. Arthur, whatever happens, this is going to be quite a few weeks, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And just to update you about the latest news, I already saw several friends of mine, for example, David Pierce. We had him at least 2 times, mm-hmm. I think, in our show.
Yeah.
He will try to attend the trial, and several other online friends of ours are also going. We have our friends, our media friends who are attending. So we will be updated by all kinds of people who are attending. Well, meanwhile, we are probably not able to attend. On the other hand, there will be a video link, we understood. So I'm definitely going to try that because, I don't want to miss this, especially not for the part where they discuss the forgeries. And I especially want to see the online responses of the BSV fan club.
Oh, the deflection is going to be off the charts. It's going to be crazy to see how they cope with it.
Yeah. I also want to follow for a bit. I mean, and I'm not going to see everything that he is going to put on the internet, but Kurt Wuckert is always also interesting to follow, mm-hmm. because he is falling, yes. from one surprise in the other, and his face expressions, they can be, well, let's say interesting.
Well, we'll avoid getting personal and we'll leave it there. So, Arthur, thank you so much, as usual, for your insight and your thoughts. And however we cover it, I'm sure I'll be speaking to you very, very soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Cheers.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Dr. Bitcoin, the man who wasn't Satoshi Nakamoto. Don't forget to subscribe to the show on your podcast platform of choice to get these episodes the moment they drop. And if you enjoyed what you heard, we'd really appreciate a star rating and even a review to help us get this out to as many people as possible. Our monthly bonus episodes are available to download from our website for a small consideration. And if you'd like to access all these bonus episodes, plus these monthly updates a few days early and other goodies, you can do so by becoming a Dr. Bitcoin supporter. See the details in the show notes for information on how to do this, or head to our website, drbitcoinpod.com. That's drbitcoinpod.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at drbitcoinpod, and you can email us at drbitcoinpod@gmail.com. That's drbitcoinpod@gmail.com. Thanks very much for listening, and we'll speak to you again soon.
You've been listening to Dr. Bitcoin, the man who wasn't Satoshi Nakamoto. Written by Mark Hunter, with additional material by Arthur Van Pelt. Editing and production by Mark Hunter. This has been a Contented Media production.